All right, welcome back. Busy day, busy first hour. Eric Lee Show, Nick Smith, of course, downtown Decatur. A little bit ago, we talked with Coach Joseph. Just had Danny Cook on from the Decatur Frontiers Club. Coming up in hour two, head coach Steve Kirk from Argento Orienta. And, of course, our Herald and Review buds as we get into trying to pick what will be three pretty tough games to determine. Because we're also going to pick the Monticello game, of course, as we get forward with our picking thoughts. But first, we get a chance to chat with St. Teresa head coach Mark Ramsey. Coach, we talked to Coach Joseph a little bit ago. He had a lot of really nice things to say about you, so you can't say anything mean about him.
Oh, no, I wouldn't. Never do that. He's an old Macon boy.
Yep.
From kind of my neck of the woods down there. So
he told us about the Ramsey Brothers gas station and you know, playing across from you when you coached him, you know, just in Mohiqua High School back in the original days. It was a good chat. You guys, he's known you a while. It also means you're old.
Yeah, I know. And his father-in-law and I were classmates.
No kidding.
Grew up together at Mohiqua, yeah.
Well, a lot of intermingled stories over the years. There's a lot, you know, we kind of talked this week about Trojans and Bulldogs that have married throughout the years. You know, it'll be houses divided aplenty coming up tomorrow afternoon. You've won state championships. Has anything compared to this week? I mean, did a state week compare to this week? Because this has been pretty wild.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of factors. Not only the rivalry between St. Teresa and Moroa, but you know, the weather's been an issue. Mm-hmm. You know, trying to get a good week of practice in, and with the weather, I think Tuesday we're just trying to survive out there with cold fingers and cold toes. It was a little better on Wednesday and Thursday, but. We were a little more prepared, I think, but and then yeah. With everything else going on, you're right. It's kind of been more like that short week going into a state championship game.
Yeah, which obviously you'd like to do again next week, but there's a big hurdle in front of you first. How do you what's your strategy for talking to the kids? Do you use that this is a gigantic game that so many people care about, or have you, like Moroa said, you know, he wants them to just think one football game? Is that, do you match that mentality?
Oh yeah, I think so. Of course, back in the day, that before social media and all that, it was a different ball game. But you know, now you have to deal with that. Hey, did you hear what this person said or that?
Sure.
And to tell you the truth, I don't get on social media at all. So we, you know, and we just, try to move past all that and just say, hey, we got a football game. Let's get ready to play. Let's get prepared, both physically and mentally, and, let's go to it.
I think, we all know plenty about Jacardi A. Wright, but he either has one or two games left in his career. What's it been like coaching this kid?
Well, I mean, unbelievable talent, just raw speed and strength, and he's athletic, can catch and can cut on a dime, and his athleticism has been more than I've coached a lot of good kids, a lot of good athletes, a lot of strong kids, fast kids, but he's just one of those kids that has it all.
Yeah. Best kid you've ever coached? Does he get that title? Best player you've ever coached?
I would say probably the most talented football player. You know, like I said, I would hate to say.
I didn't know if it was an obvious answer. Perry Jordan was pretty good.
You know, like I said before, I've had coached a lot of good kids, but as far as just size, strength, speed, everything, he's probably the most talented.
Yeah. Of course, the question everybody wants to know is, where is he going to college? That's a decision he's making after the season. He'll nail some things down, right? We're not even worried about that right now.
Yeah, he's not worried about that right now. He's, you know, we tried to make some, you know, we had some thoughts of making a decision during the summer, get it over with, and then, you know, and he didn't, and then we thought, well, and now he's just kind of waiting to see, you know, what happens after the season.
Yeah, which is just fine. Okay, so Moreau Forsyth, you know, I asked Josh what it's like to look across the field coaching you, so I'll ask you the same thing. What's it like looking across the, you know, coaching against a guy like Justice, and they got a big coaching staff and John Kidd's defense. You know, does it get you excited to go against guys that are so smart and talented?
Oh, Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, the record speaks for itself. What they've built there, as far as that program goes, and year in year out, you know, they put a quality team on the field, both offensively and defensively, and special teams. And he does a great job with trying to move guys around to you know, get you outnumbered here and there, and yeah. And so you really really have to be on top of your game if you expect to survive. So hopefully our kids can adjust. You know, like I said, it's been a tough week weather wise to get done what we need to get done, but the kids are focused, and hopefully we'll make those adjustments.
Yeah, and at least you're both fighting with this weather. You know, that's obviously, you know, everybody's in the same boat right now. You're close enough that you're getting the same weather. If you were playing somebody down the middle of southern Illinois, maybe they wouldn't. So it'll be, you know, obviously going to be fun. Talk about, you know, I didn't want to just talk about Jacardier. Jack Hogan at quarterback, how has he grown into the QB you hoped he would?
Yeah, and you know, I know he didn't have, you know, gaudy numbers or anything like that, but part of the reason was, you're trying to spread the ball around to Les and Phillips and Stanley Rogers and Nick Belichick and Austin Fitzpatrick. You know, you're trying to get, but you know, there was a lot of games where he gets 6-7 touches and we throw 4 or 5 passes and then it's time for him to watch the rest of the game on the sideline. So, you know, I think,
he's not a statistical giant. Yeah.
Yeah. I think his best days are ahead. But he has, made some big plays,
yeah.
You know, first offensive play against Nathan's, runs one in from, 30 some yards. And he's made some big throws. So he's just, I tell you, he's just a pleasure to coach though. I mean, he's locked in all the time. So, and we got a lot of kids like that.
That's great. That's great. I mean, you're not a system guy, but you got guys that do fit into how you do things. And it's just that, I don't know, blue collar work ethic style that I think, you know, a line at St. Teresa adopts and a lot of times the linebackers. Let me tell you a credit that I was told by somebody. Now, there may have been adult beverages involved, but Austin Fitzpatrick, that's your sophomore middle linebacker, right?
Right.
I wish I knew your team better, but Brett Zerfowski has ownership of all St. Teresa games. So, Brett and Seth, I never get to see you guys. I was told Austin may be the best middle linebacker at St. T since Overrocker. Is he that special of a kid? I mean, now, I bring that question up. Tell me about him, but tell me about your defense.
Well, you know, there was, we had a lot of kids, especially on the back end coming back, defensively. You know, with Stanley's been a 3-year starter back there.
Yep.
Cartier, Joey Stubbs started back there last year. Tyler Phillips started back there last year. Michael Les played, started there a lot of the year last year. And Seth Gillespie played, he rotated between defensive and inside linebacker. So
yeah.
Us trying to decide or find, we need to find that other inside linebacker. And that was one of our question marks. And after game one, we said, I think we found him.
It was obvious, yeah.
And he's just, you know, he's 6'5", you know, I don't know, 205, 210. And he's really a gamer, plays hard, understands the game. For us, he's made play after play this year. And, so he's fit in very well to our defensive system.
What about the line? How's that D line looking?
That was our other question mark.
Really?
We had Connor Reynolds coming back at one of the defensive ends, and of course we graduated the other three, Bo Brannion being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And but we had some guys that had some experience, Domenico Sassano and Jackson Hogan, and we were really worried about especially early in the year with rotating some guys down, and it was kind of one of those deals. We threw Denham Cook down as a nose tackle,
yep,
against us in a scout team setting, and all of a sudden we're going, hey, this kid's really hard to block.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out, even though he's a by trade, he's a linebacker. He said, oh, yeah, I played some nose tackle in, I don't know, sixth grade or something like that. So anyway, we played him there. He's played there ever since and seems to make big plays when it counts. Had a big sack last weekend. And then our other question mark was our defensive end. And by trial and error, we came up with Will Jamison, who's a sophomore, who was a nose tackle last year. And he's really, really done a great job for us. Again, he's hard to block. He's quick. He's, you know, probably 180, 185 pounds. But I don't know where we'd be defensively without Denham, a freshman, coming in. Will Jamison, a sophomore, and Austin Fitzpatrick, a sophomore.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Those guys have really stepped up and filled those spots.
Well, no matter how much success you've had, you know, and you've got a pretty important senior class graduating, you look at all these young guys, and you could just coach forever. You're not allowed to go anywhere, Mark.
Oh, I don't know. You know, this time of year, I don't know whether I'm coming or going, but it's one of those things. As long as I enjoy the kids, that's the main thing.
Sure.
As long as I enjoy the kids and the process, and I got good quality kids that want to learn and play hard. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. We'll that's all right. I love the Denham Cook story. You remember Tony Austin and Stephen Decatur, Player of the Year in '96. Uh-huh. He his freshman year, Dwight Simmons came and said, "This kid's going to be a middle linebacker for 3 years, but we have linebackers." And I think it was Brian Eller and Chris Brewer at the time at Stephen Decatur, and they took Tony Austin and plunked him down at nose guard, and he played there for a number of games. So it's like that. I like the Denham Cook story. It rivals the Tony Austin story, or it mirrors it a little bit. I like that. It'll help keep Tony's name alive, who's, of course, had the JFL field named after him, so that's pretty cool. So,
well, I'll tell you another thing about Denham. He's a really good running back, too.
Yep. And so is Tony. I love this.
Yeah, of course, he was playing behind Jicardi all year, got in at the end of some games and ran the ball hard, scored some touchdowns, and played some lower-level games. So
I love it.
He's going to be a really good running back as well.
Well, tomorrow's going to be a big deal. There's going to be a few people there at St. Teresa on campus hanging out tomorrow. Is the whole Ramsey crew making the trip?
Yeah, I think they are, actually. So it's going to be good to have the family all here.
Where's Curtis now? He graduated, right?
He did. He just got a job in Peoria County working for the State Ag Department. So we're getting ready to move him up there. And my oldest son, Ross, who's married to a Moreau girl. Yeah, they're coming. And my daughter, she always comes. And she's expecting, so we're excited about that.
Oh, awesome.
They'll all be here.
All right, Ross has a pregnant wife who went to Moreau. He went to A&M. He hated St. Teresa his whole life, and then Dad starts coaching there. Talk about a guy that's torn.
Exactly, yeah.
I love it. It's great. All this is fun, and I hope the Ramsey family and these kids are going to remember playing this game for the rest of their lives. But for right now, it's just a football game, right? And get them out there and get to work.
Yeah, I mean that's the first thing we said. Hey, if you don't tackle, you're going to lose. If you don't block, you're going to lose. If you don't hang on to the football, you're going to lose. So
yeah.
we've got to do the things that we've done all year to get us to this point. I mean, there's no magical formula right now.
Yeah.
We just got to
simplify,
block and tackle and run the ball hard and pursue and do all the things that we've worked on all year.
Josh Joseph is going to yell, "Do your job." I've heard him do it the whole time we've covered them. And that is literally the only line you can really tell these kids that are 12-0 and have done the job for 12 weeks. If you do your job, you've just got to see what happens.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you start trying to do somebody else's job, then bad things start happening.
Mark, I appreciate the time. It's a busy, busy week. You've always been available to us. It was hard for us to get connected because of how busy we both have been, but I really appreciate you, and I'll talk to you down the road. Good luck, man. Good luck. Maybe we're talking next week.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Take
care.
Talk
to you later.
Head coach of the Bulldogs, Mark Ramsey, and you heard Coach Joseph say it. Not a lot of people that are just better people out there, and I can say that about both of them, and even the third coach we're going to talk to in the next hour. Great dudes to talk to. Thanks again, Mark Ramsey. If you missed any of that conversation, it'll be available at nowdecatur.com. We're going to get a timeout, finishing up hour one here momentarily. Eric Lee Show, Nick Smith, right back on WSOY and nowdecatur.com.